Praise God. Hey, we're going to talk to you today a little bit about Joshua. How many know Joshua? I mean, I like the name Josh. I mean, you know, Jesus' name was Yeshua. Is that right? And Joshua is... You know, Joshua went through a lot. Is that right? Joshua was Moses' minister. He was actually the guy that helped Moses, helped him put on his sandals. Hallelujah. Put on the robe. Okay, hey, your hair looks kind of jacked today, Moses. What the heck, man? Let me straighten that out for you. Amen? He was Moses' minister. And what I love about Joshua, Moses would go into the tabernacle and he would worship God and he would meet with God face to face. Is that right? That's what the Bible says, that Moses would meet with God face to face. And Moses would get up and he'd leave and go back to his tent. But Joshua would hang out in there. Is that right? How many like hanging out in the presence of God? I'll tell you what, man, there's nothing like spending time with God. Oh, kids, you can go. Sorry, Diane. Hallelujah. Praise God. I told you he forgets. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it's not age. Amen. Come on. You guys go, yeah, right. Praise God. Hallelujah. But Joshua would hang out in the tabernacle and not only did he minister to Moses, but Joshua would minister to the Lord. How many know that? The presence of the Lord is something that is a place where not only the Lord ministers to us, but we minister right back to him. Amen? That's what was happening this morning. We were ministering before the Lord, saying, God, thank you for all you've done. We recognize you, God, as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We recognize you as the Lord of our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of God is the Lord of your life? Hallelujah. He loves you like nobody else loves you. He loves you more than your mama loves you. And some of your moms are going, I don't think so. Yeah, well, he does. He loves us, folks. Joshua would hang out there and got to the point where Moses, it was time for the children of Israel to go on into to the promised land. Remember that? What had to happen before they went into the promised land? Anybody? Everybody had to die. Is that right? The old men that had come out of Egypt, they had to pass away, except for two guys. What were their name? Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua and Caleb were the two last ones of that generation that actually got to go into the promised land. So what I love about Joshua is God gave him a command. He said, you know what? Moses is gone now. Now everything that Moses had is now upon you. You are the leader of my people. Hallelujah. And you're going to take my people into the promised land. Take them over Jordan and begin to allow them to move into their inheritance, which I have given them, is what God said. So Joshua gets up after the Lord speaks to him a little bit, and he gets up and he tells the people, "Get ready. We're gonna cross the River Jordan." And he tells the folks, he says, "I want you to watch the Ark of the Covenant as the priests carry the Ark. I want you to stay back. Probably, I don't know, stay back. It might have been like 3,000, 4,000 feet. I don't know how much. I don't know how far they were told to stay back, because how many know it's kind of hard to see something that's right in front of you. So they were to watch the Ark as it went out in front of them. It would go out in front of them, and the people of Israel were watching that Ark. And when he told the priests to go on into the Jordan at this time was flooding over. It was harvest time, and generally the river would flood over, so there was a lot of water. How many of you guys like a lot of water? Anybody get rain last night? Yeah, I got some good rain. My house sounded really crazy out there. I got mesquite beans laying all over the ground right now. My wife is going to have to go home and clean them. It's my birthday. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, anyway, it was flood season, so the river generally overran its banks. So a lot of water come in. I don't know if you would have liked to have been that priest, but it probably been kind of wild. You want us to do what? Carry the ark out into the river. Oh, okay. All right. So as they were walking out, the Bible says that when their feet hit the water began to back up. They created a, I'm not sure how many priests were carrying that ark. Maybe it was four or maybe it was more. But they created a four-man or six-man dam. Amen? Is that right? God began to hold that water so that the children of Israel could cross that river to get on the other side. So these guys go in there, and then the Lord tells them, hey, pick up some rocks to remember this by out of the middle of the river. Get some rocks out of there and carry them up on the side and set them up for a testimony about what just happened. How many know it's good to write things down? Whatever's going on in your life, it's good to write things down. How many of you journal, actually journal? Write down the things that God has done for you. You know, that's really good so that you can look, go back and look and see what God has done for you. Because sometimes, folks, we just forget about what God's done for us. But God said, put some rocks up there on the side. So all the people went over. And as soon as the priests come out of the waters were released and they began to flow again over its banks just like it had been doing before. Praise God. I mean, like miracles. You know that was a miracle. That was a miracle. Stop that water. Let them go over on dry ground. Hallelujah. So now they're over there and God tells them, okay, get ready. You're going to go up to Jericho. Now they had set their sights on Jericho and Ai, the two cities that were the ones that were right prominent, right where they crossed. And so they went, they began to go after Jericho. They had spent a little time of, this kind of sounds kind of weird, but at the time, because of the children of Israel, while they were in the desert, all the new generation had come in. Not a one of them were circumcised. So when they got on the other side, the Lord said, circumcise the men. So they circumcised all the men, and it took a while to heal up. So there was a little time of healing, and there was a time, I believe that time of healing is a time of hearing. How many of you know that? I want to say that to you all the time. Anytime you're healing, it's a time of hearing. Listen, I'm going to say it to you again. Healing is a time of hearing for you. Do you hear that? God is always interested in what you're doing. He's always interested in what's going on around you. And a lot of times when you are healing, God is it's also a time of hearing what God is saying to you, which is cool. So they waited, and then they got ready. They were healed up, and they were ready to move to go after Jericho. And you guys all know the story. First day, they went around one time, blowing the trumpets. Second day, they went around, blowing the trumpets. One time around. God had told them, don't let them talk. Amen? Praise God, huh? Don't let them talk. Just keep them quiet and just blow those trumpets. Had to be very nerve-wracking for the people that were in Jericho because they're hearing these trumpets going around the city every day, early in the morning. And I don't know. It was almost like the Lord was saying, if you want to get out, now's the time. Amen? Anyway, 7 days had come past the city. They did it once more on the seventh day, and then they went again another six times around that city on the seventh day. And they, Joshua said, when I tell you, I want you to shout. That seventh time they went around, they were blowing the trumpets. And then he said, okay, it's time to shout. And they shouted. And the word of God says those walls came down flat. Now there was a harlot in that city that had protected Moses' men that had gone to spy out the city. And Moses said, hey, go to her house and take them out of harm's way. Her and her family, whoever she's got in there, take them out of the way. While we destroy the city, we are commanded to utterly destroy the whole city. Everybody, everything in it, we're commanded. So they got Rahab out of the way and they went in. And Joshua had given them a commandment saying, hey, when you guys go in, make sure you don't take any of the things for yourself. Is that right? You might see a lot of stuff. You might see something laying on the ground. Don't take it. Leave it alone. So they took the city and God, they began to focus on the next city. Jericho had fallen. And when they began to focus on this next city, Joshua sent spies to that city. Ai is the name of the city. And as they went, they came back and they said, you know what, there's not that many people. There's not, you know what, all we need is about 3,000 guys. That'll work. We'll do that with 3,000 guys. Joshua says, okay, sounds good. We'll do that. A few days later, they sent 3,000 troops or 3,000 men to go take that city. And as they entered into battle against that city, the people of that city turned that battle around. And those people, the 3,000 guys, began to run for their lives. The Bible says that we lost about 36 men is what they told Joshua. We lost about 36 guys. Before that, they were on the move, wouldn't you say? We're on the move, man. There's nothing going to stop us. God is with us. And now all of a sudden, they're running for their lives. And a city, AI, has taken over and kind of made it look like they weren't. These guys aren't nothing. Amen. So Joshua, he goes to the Lord. And I'm going to take you into Joshua chapter, I believe it's 7. Joshua chapter 7. Let's pray right here. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. God, thank you, Lord. God, I pray, Father, that you would anoint our ears to hear what you're saying to us this morning. Every person in the building, Lord, open their ears to hear. Father, I ask for a window from heaven to be opened under me, that utterance might come out of my mouth to speak the things that I ought to speak and not to speak the things that I shouldn't be speaking. Lord, I'm your mouthpiece. I would, Father God, that you would, Father, set me off to the side and you would speak through me. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Joshua chapter 7, verses 6 through 11. The men had come back and told them that we had just lost 36 guys. And Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, they put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? To destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Oh Lord," he said, "what shall I say when Israel turns their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face?" And verse 11 says this. I'm just going to read the first part. Israel has sinned. On the move. They're on the move and they're doing great. And then all of a sudden something changes. And they, now they're running from their enemies. And Joshua, he looks and now he's saying, "God, I thought you wanted us to do this. And now we're running from our enemies. What's going on, God? Why is this happening to us?" How many of you know where Joshua's at? Yeah, hallelujah. I love the way God answers them. He says this, "Get up, man." Is that right? Hallelujah. How many know God wants to strengthen you and encourage you? God tells him, "Get up. What are you doing on your face? Get up. It's simple, Joshua. Israel has sinned." Apparently, there was one guy. Amen? One guy. How many of you know the move of God can be hindered by one person? Is that, how many know that? Is that correct? It can. It can. One guy. You notice that it said that they sent 3,000 guys up there to AI? They said, "We don't need all the guys. Just send 3,000. It'll take care of it." There must have been quite a few men that they could send up to a battle. Is that right? One guy. Does anyone remember what was his name? His name was Achan. Oh, my aching back. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. What a pain for Israel. Is that right? Achan, what he had done was fighting his battle. I mean, going in, and they were commanded to take the city. And in there, he's doing what he's doing. I don't know. Chopping people. I don't know what he's doing. Okay, sorry. But he goes in and he sees a wedge of gold. And then he says, the Bible says he sees a Babylonian garment laying there. And then some silver maybe somewhere else. So what Achan does, he goes, I'm only one guy. He grabs it and he starts hiding it. I'm going to put it in my tent. The Bible says that he went home and he went back to his tent, dug a little hole and buried it in his tent. Is that right? Hallelujah. You know that sometimes we'll bury things within us? But how many of you know that God knows it's there? The Bible says that God told Joshua, get up and go and bring the people before in by their tribes. And as they passed by Moses, the tribe of Judah was taken. He's right there. Everybody else can go home. Judah, who wants you to? And as they passed by, Achan's grandpa and his family was taken. As the rest of you can go home, all the way down to Achan, where Joshua said, dude, what did you do, man? And Achan says, well, I took a Babylonian garment and I took a wedge of gold and some silver and I hid it in my tent. Joshua sent his guys over there. They went into his tent, dug it up, brought it back to Joshua. And Joshua says, man, you've troubled the whole nation. So this is kind of, Joshua makes a command. He says, bring their family, his sons, his daughters. And this is hurt. This hurts, man. Sons and daughters. And they place them and they stone them to death. Pretty harsh, isn't that right? See, God was doing something. And he needed obedience at that time. And Achan had crossed the line. But I don't want to so much just focus on what Achan, his actions and everything. Because I'm going to tell you, folks, sometimes we do things that we really shouldn't be doing, and we think it's okay. Is that right? Come on, man. You guys can smile. It's my birthday. Yeah, sometimes we do things that we think is okay and that God just winks at it. And he says, it's okay. Just, folks, I'm going to tell you something. God is talking to us that it's time that we become a people that he's called us to be. He's saying, hey, it's time to rise up. It's time to take a look at those things that are happening in your life and how you're doing them and allow me to help you in those situations. How do you know that God wants to help us? Is that right? He wants to help us. Hallelujah. But I want to just look at Joshua. Because what Joshua, he falls on his face and he says, God. And you know how many of you know that's the right place to be? Fall on your face when things go wrong. Fall on your face and say, but there's sometimes you start thinking, well, God, what did you say to me then? Is that right? Was that what Joshua was saying to him? Did you not tell us to come over here? Didn't you say that? I'll tell you, sometimes things don't feel right to us. Sometimes, and it's important that we say, hey, okay, wait a minute, God. You told me to wait on you. I'm going to wait on you because I don't know what's happening here. I don't know how to do what I'm supposed to do without you. And I need to stop and find out what's going on. Is that right? And that's what Joshua was doing. But God tells him, get up, man. Israel sinned. And I want to read to you what God told Joshua. This is his command to Joshua when he said, I want you to take the land. I want you to take the children of Israel into the promised land, and I want you to allow them to divide up their inheritance because I've given them the land. Amen? So I wanted to take you to Joshua chapter 1. I want you to hear these words. Joshua is going over. I would believe that God, Joshua might be thinking, okay, wait a minute, God, this is what you said to me. Here's what God told Joshua after Moses, a servant of God, had died. Moses was 120 years old when he died. And the Bible says that his natural force, amen, come on, y'all, it never drained. He was still as strong the day the Lord took him as he was the day he came out of Egypt, amen. Hallelujah. And here's where God tells Joshua. He says, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Moses, my servant, is dead, is what the Lord said. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I got given to you, as I said to Moses. You see that? Every place that you put your foot on, Joshua. Did it seem at the moment that Ai was one of those places that God was not talking about? It did. It seemed like, no, man, this ain't working. It's not happening here. But nevertheless, what did God say to him? Every place you put your feet on, you're going to take. Then he says this, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you. How many say, yeah, cool, man? There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you, is what God told them. God said, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people you shall divide for an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. This is God speaking to Joshua about going in to take this land. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wheresoever you go. How many of you know that if you keep your eyes on Jesus, on the kingdom, he will prosper you? God wants to take you someplace if you will allow him. Our problem is we allow our eyes to shift and we start looking at other things and we fall on our face and say, God, why isn't this going good? How come I lost 36 men, God? Hallelujah. No, man. God is saying, hey, man, let me show you some stuff. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Do you hear that? What you read in the word is important to you. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that you may observe to do all and according to that which is written. For then thou shalt make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. How many of you want prosperous? How many want your way to go prosperous? How many of you want that? Do you know that God wants that for you too? How many of you want good success? Do you know that God wants that for you too? Hallelujah. And he has certain ways that he does that he'll prosper you and cause you to have good success. You know how you do it today? By seeking first the kingdom of God, period. Amen? You know, we've gone through a time where we've had people that say, you know, well, you just claim it and it's yours. Is that right? We've gone through a time of that. But I'm going to tell you something. God never said it that way. He said, seek first my kingdom and everything and its righteousness, and everything shall be added to you. What do you need? Come on, man. What do you need? I'm going to say, yeah, what do you need? If you seek first the kingdom of God, you're going to find that God is answering. He will answer and he will cause you to have a prosperous way and good success. Amen. That's just who he is. Hallelujah. He's not teasing us. Like I would tease my grandson. My grandson loves to drive my tractor. Do you know that? If there's a little bit of daylight left, he goes, Tata, can I drive the tractor? I said, man, not right now, man. He said, and one of the ways I get him, I say, hey, you know what, mijo? If you do good, you can drive the tractor anytime you want. But if you don't listen to your mama, guess what? So sometimes he'll be looking at his mom and not doing what she's saying. And I'll go, hey, I'm watching you, man. And I'll go like that. That means the tractor keys. Tractor keys.
tractor keys.
You ain't gonna get them if you keep acting like that, boy. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'll tease him about that, but I'll tell you, God never teases us. He just tells us plain and simple, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He wants to give you those things. How many of you know it's time to seek after God like crazy? Hallelujah. Some of you are already seeking God. I'm going to tell you, get a little more. Get a little more on fire to seek Him a little deeper. Amen? Seek Him with all your heart. Find out what He's wanting to say to you, because He does want to talk to you. Hallelujah. You will have good success. Haven't I commanded you, Joshua? Be strong and good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wheresoever you go. Wherever you go. Amen. Oh, yeah, well, Lord, what about AI? I'm with you. Do you realize, folks, come on. Do you realize that sometimes we cause God to hold back His hand because of what we do? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Let me just say this to you, because while I was walking, the Lord was saying something to me, and He says, you know what? I cannot bless unforgiveness. Do you know that? God cannot bless unforgiveness. If you got somebody in your heart that you are unforgiving towards, I'm going to tell you that this morning, you need to forgive them. Sometimes just that little bit of saying, God, I don't think I can forgive them, but I want to forgive them. Lord, will you help me? Just something like that, it opens the door. And God will begin to pour things into you. The love of God that passes, or the peace of God that passes all understanding, and His love begin to flood your heart. And then you'll find that that person who was so hard to forgive, all of a sudden you're praying for him and you're believing God's best for their life. Amen. He will not bless unforgiveness. I'm going to fall over. Hallelujah. He won't. And there are things that we, folks, we got to look at. We have to understand that God is saying, look. It's not you. It's me in you. Amen? It's me dwelling in you. So when there's something going on, there's a little bit of a conflict that's deep within you. And God is saying, I want to address it. The reason it's happening, because I want to address. Hallelujah. Which is better? Believe in God or believe God? Which is better? James chapter 2:19. We put that up. James 2:19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. So if you believe in God, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that believe in God. But there is not a lot of folks that actually believe God. I'm going to say that again. There's a lot of people out there that believe in God. But there's not a lot of people that believe God. What God says, I believe it. Amen? And God is looking for people to say, hey, I believe you, Lord. I believe you. Hallelujah. Abraham believed God. Galatians 3:6 says this. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. All Abraham had was a voice in his ear. How many of you know that? He didn't have anything else but something going on in his ear. He says, hey, God, hello. Praise God. Amen. You told me to go? Okay. Come on, folks, let's go. You told me to sacrifice my son? Okay, let's go. See, Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. He stepped into the realm of righteousness. The Word of God tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. Amen? Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:1 says this, faith is a substance of things hoped for, and it's evidence of things not seen. Faith. Hallelujah. How many of you know God wants us to live by faith? The Word teaches that we are to live by faith. Hallelujah. And not faith in what you can see, but faith in what you can't see. Amen? Man, I'll tell you. Folks, I said, listen. God does want to take you someplace. He's trying to get you to move. Amen? But it's going to take believing and having faith in what he's told you. Amen? Some of you have got great things ahead of you, but all it takes is a little bit to start moving towards what you think that God is saying to you. And you watch, when you begin to start moving towards that, it'll become clear. Faith isn't designed to hold us someplace. Faith is designed to take us someplace. Faith is a vehicle. It is something that's going to move us forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And how many are in for forward movement? Come on, man. I'm in for forward movement. I like up and down, too. But I'm in. Man, I said, God, I want to just keep moving forward. And God, I don't want to slow down. Hallelujah. Folks, we're in this together. How many know that? We're in this together. We need to be watching over what's going on in our lives. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Believing a promise of God and hoping on what it says creates faith. Does that make sense? The Word of God says that by His stripes you've been healed. Is that right? Amen. By His stripes you've been healed. God's Word says that to you. His stripes that Jesus took on His back were for your healing. Period. Doesn't say anything about if you go to your specialist, if you go to your doctor, if your neighbor across the street tells you what they did. You know, how many, oh, this is what I did for that. How many know that? Oh, I looked it up on www.medicinecureyourdisease.com, whatever that is, man. I'll tell you what does God say about it? Hallelujah. The Word of God says that by your stripes you have been healed. That Jesus took those stripes for you. Folks, those are words to get you to apply hope. And applying that hope, it turns into faith. Hope. The Greek word for hope is elpiso. Elpiso. What does that mean in Spanish? The floor. Is that right? It means the floor. The Greek word is elpiso. But it means a floor. It's something that you stand on. It's a foundation. Hope is a foundation. Place your hope in Christ. You're standing on a good foundation. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is trying to speak words into your life so you might become someone that says, hey, this is the Word of God, and I believe it. And the Bible says that it was counted, Abraham got that righteousness, received righteousness because of what he believed. I'm going to tell you something, folks, that's the same way it works today. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Hallelujah. You know what? We change. Is that right? Sometimes we change. We change our mind. Joshua changed his mind. God, what are we doing here? God, we should have stayed on the other side. Come on, man. Come on, Joshua. I know a lot of people, I mean, a lot of times we think, oh, Joshua was awesome. Yeah, he was, but there were times like that, right? God, what happened? What's going on, God? Hey, it's no problem, Joshua. It's not you. It's the folks. They're doing what they shouldn't be doing. Amen? And folks, in order for us to push forward and keep going forward, each and every one of us, be looking and allowing God to search your heart. Amen? Hallelujah. Allow God to show you things. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. You get that? God's got to have faith to work with you. He says, man, when he sees your faith, he says, yeah, that's what I'm looking at. Good. I'm going to send some angels down there right now. They're going to talk to this guy over here. They're going to get him a new car. They're going to get him, I don't know, whatever. But what God is looking for, faith. God is looking for us to operate in faith. When things don't look good, when things just are speaking to you, yelling louder than what God's Word is saying to you, stop right there and say, God, I'm going to take time. I'm going to look at your Word and see what it says about this situation. I believe that God will show you every time if you'll do that. I believe one way or another, flip a page. I don't know. You just get in there and God will, because your heart is saying, God, I'm coming after you. I don't want to believe what this is saying. So I'm coming after you, and God, show it to me. And you watch what God shows you. I could tell you all day long that by his stripes you've been healed. But till you believe it, till you actually apply faith and hope in that word, it's tough. But God will step in and show you those things. If you place your trust on him, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, including healing, prosperity, the ability to speak to your children about things that, you know, it feels like you've had a block over, or you haven't been able to talk to your children in years because there's something that has happened and they're holding it against you. God will, if you seek his kingdom first, you'll find the words to speak that will pour oil on a heart, anoint that will feel, people will feel love. Hallelujah. How many know people need love today? And that's all God's trying to do. He's trying to build you and strengthen you. Hallelujah. I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Hallelujah. We're going to go into communion here in a few minutes. And this is what the Word of God says: examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, or test yourselves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate? I want to talk to that just a little bit. I was raised Catholic. And folks, and I've even been in some churches that have told me to, I mean, when we go into communion, this is what I've been told. Think about what you've done wrong. Think about those things where you failed. And speak those things to God. If you sinned, confess them to God. And can I tell you this morning that I don't think that's what it's talking about? When it says to examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, what God is asking you to do is say, hey, am I standing in faith on what I'm doing? Period. Am I standing in faith, God? Am I believing you? If I've got a need, do I go immediately to everybody else but you? Or, or do I come to you first and say, God, your word says this. Hallelujah. God wants us to examine our hearts and see if we're in the faith. Folks, faith is what pleases him. Amen? He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's just impossible. But with faith, he says, I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. So this morning, I'm going to ask you this morning to examine your heart. Are you believing the promises that God has given you? Are you looking for promises? That's an important thing, amen? If you're not looking for promises, what are we doing? Amen? God wants us to believe the promises. Can we go to 2 Peter chapter 1? Why don't you look at this? 2 Peter chapter 1, starting, I think, I don't know, verse 4 or 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says this: grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. Just stop right there for a minute. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. If you're going through something, what does God want to do? He wants to multiply grace and peace to you. Is that right? Through his knowledge, by knowing him. He wants you to know him. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Do you see that God says, I mean, Peter is saying in his epistle that he's saying that God, all things have already been given to us that pertain to life and to godliness. Do you see that? He's already given it to you. It's already there. Guess where it's at? It's already in you. It's already resident within you. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Lust. Listen in. These promises are given to you. They're already given to you. But you got to go after the promises. Amen? And when you find a promise, believe it. Is that right? You got to do that with God. Because God gives promises. He told Abraham, you're going to have a son. And the Bible says that even though he was 90, he believed God. So the promises are when God speaks them to us, or when you find a promise in the Word of God, tell God, I'll take that. I believe you, Father, for that promise. And when you begin to apply belief, you begin to believe God for that promise, it turns into faith. And God says, I'm looking for that, and that's how I'm going to react. I'm going to show them that their faith is powerful to them. Amen? Hallelujah. Your faith is powerful to you. But the Word of God tells us to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. Are you in the faith? I remember them asking us one time, well, what faith are you? Dude, what faith am I? I don't know. I said, well, are you Protestant? Are you Catholic? Are you Jehovah's Witness? What faith are you? I'm in powerful faith. Amen. I'm in the faith that saves and heals. Amen. Hallelujah. Examine yourselves this morning. Hallelujah. God loves you, and He wants to take you far beyond you can even think. He wants to take you that way, okay? So watch. Allow Him to. Father, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing this morning. Lord, I'm asking you, Father, to touch our lives, Father God, in those areas, Father, that is not faith. Touch our lives, Father, in those areas where we are trusting ourselves and we're not trusting you. Allow us, Father God, the privilege, hallelujah, of pleasing you this morning, God. Allow us that privilege. In Jesus' name.